Check your credit report.
Do it yourself.
Manage money.
Your income tax.
Where's your bailout? Bailout.
Saving for college.
Negotiate the best price.
Where are we supposed to haggle?
Start saving.
Retirement.
Bailout.
Do it yourself.
Where's your bailout?
Do it yourself.
So for the past year, we've heard a lot about bailouts, bailouts for the car industry, bailouts for the American financial system. The big banks got a bailout. What happened to our bailout? Who's going to come in and bail out the average American citizen? Takeaway contributor Beth Koblenner has an answer to that question. You are going to bail yourself out. We have a new series that we start today called Do It Yourself Bailout. It's a 10-part series. And this week, the question is, why can't we talk about money? Why is it so hard to talk about personal finances? It's just plain difficult. Keeping silent may be more comfortable, but it's also perhaps not healthy and certainly not good for your finances. Beth Koblenner is author of Get a Financial Life. She's here to help us break this silence. Also with us, Stephen Goldbart, a psychologist and co-director of the Money, Meaning, and Choices Institute. Good morning to both of you.
Morning.
Good morning.
So Beth, first of all, let's kind of get an idea about this, because people come to you for answers, financial answers, right?
Right. All the time.
Are they agonized? I mean, what does it take to bring them to you?
Well, I think the main thing is we've all heard about this $11 trillion bailout. And I've been seeing people now wearing T-shirts saying, where's my bailout? And we see right now that there's 6 million Americans who have been unemployed for 6 months or longer, which is the longest period since the Bureau of Labor Statistics has been keeping this figure since 1948. So there's such a long period of time where people are out of work, and it's devastating for them. Meanwhile, they have $8,000 in credit card debt on average. One in four American homeowners are underwater, meaning they owe more than their home is worth. People have depleted their savings. And so we decided to do this takeaway bailout movement to get people up and learn about, you know, how to save, what are the secrets behind your credit score, how do you get out of debt, all those questions that you've asked me, everybody's asked me, and we're going to try to figure them out for people.
Okay, but Stephen, this is a question for you, because I was unemployed for just about 6 months. It was very, very difficult financially, and clearly I have a lot of house cleaning financially to do to recover from that, which I'm sure a lot of people are in that situation. And what I discovered when I started talking to my friends about this is that nobody wanted to talk about it. And when I finally did broach the subject, they were almost relieved to have a place to vent that. So what is this that makes us feel this personal shame over money issues?
Yeah, it's really true that money today is the issue that sex was maybe 50 years ago in terms of still being taboo and uncomfortable. And then when people just turn on the faucet, everyone's ready to just talk about it. That's because, in part, it's a lightning rod issue. Money is just loaded with emotional issues such as love, control, self-esteem, sexuality, and power. So it's very hard to have a conversation about money that's just about the money. People feel that when you ask them about money, you're asking them, you know, do you have or do you not have self-esteem? Have you made it? Are you likable? Are you dressed for success? You know, how well is your life going? In effect, in this country, money overdetermines, you know, who we are, our self-esteem, and what we are as people.
You know, Beth, I actually have a friend of mine who actually leaves her credit card bill sitting there until it's late because she doesn't want to open it, and she has the money to pay for it.
Yeah.
You must see people like this all the time.
Absolutely. You know, most people I know so little about it because they were never taught anything about it. But I have to say, personally, when I go to the doctor and I say I used to write for Money Magazine, and the doctor says, oh, I love Money Magazine, I usually run the other way because I want my doctor to read JAMA. I don't want my doctor to read Money Magazine.
I agree.
I find people who are passionate about their careers or their families, we all have such busy lives. We don't really have that much time to focus on our money. It's not really all that fun. And we're busy doing so many other things. And those who do have time, you know, people are frightened. It is really overwhelming and scary to focus in on this topic that we don't know much about.
My wife and I have discovered that when you do it, mm-hmm. though, when you actually do get into it, it's actually, there's so much to talk about and so much to do there. It can be a bonding mechanism. It can actually be helpful.
Absolutely. That's the point.
You got to get over the hurdle.
You got to get over the hurdle. And I think the way to do that is by just diving in there, small steps at a time, like anything else in life. You get into the nitty gritty, you figure it out. And by talking about it, you really get to the nuggets of what we need to do as a couple or as
here,
a family.
Here, honey, here are my receipts. That's what we do.
That sounds so romantic.
But Stephen, you know, how do you get people to get over this fear of admitting things, of giving, even if they go to somebody like Beth Koblenner and they're trying to get their finances together, oftentimes I bet they don't even give her the whole story. They're embarrassed to tell her how bad they think things are. How do you get people over that?
Well, I think we first have to start by facing that we are uncomfortable with this, and that work on separating our financial worth from our self-worth, and say to ourselves, okay, you know, this is going to be hard, but I'm just going to take that first step to get started. You know, none of us have been taught to be emotionally intelligent about money, mm-hmm. and most of us have not been taught, you know, the financial basics, and the kind of holes that people find themselves in have a whole lot to do with the way in which our society has, you know, pressed us to buy, to purchase, to consume, but hasn't helped us understand what it means to manage our money. And another important point here, a conversation about money doesn't have to be boring. Ultimately, a conversation that you begin to have with yourself or with people in your life about money can be a conversation about what really matters to you most.
It's kind of 12-steppy
here. And the principles that you want to have drive your life.
I'm John Hockenberry, and I bought an electric guitar in my 50s that I couldn't afford.
There we go. You said it. But also, I think a lot of it's about financial literacy. I often say to people, could you save $50 a month? They're like, no, I can't. It's impossible. I'm like, well, how about $2 a day? And they're like, oh, sure. Well, $2 a day, of course I can. I'm like, well, you know what? If you can save $2 a day, you can save, you can even save $60 a month. And they're like, oh, okay. You know, that kind of click. You know, a British study found that 1 in 7 people would say they prefer to visit a dentist rather than see a financial planner. So I feel like we're at this point.
How does that make you feel,
Beth? Yeah. I know. I think we're at the point where people are afraid, but perhaps the silver lining in this terrible economic situation that many people are feeling, and it's very serious and very grave, is that it's forced a lot of people to come to terms with, I'm in this dire situation. How do I get out of it? How do I pay attention to these issues at this very difficult time? And where do I start?
Do you generally find when people come to you, Beth, that things are worse than they think they are? Or do people generally think of themselves that they're in worse financial shape, they're in better financial shape than they thought?
I think, you know, as a journalist, I talk to people of all different ranges. But I think people are more scared, and it's this big, scary, you know, hole that they don't even want to go at and look at. And then when they look at the specifics, they're like, oh, I didn't realize, you know, it takes 3 phone calls and just to get it in order. Of course, it takes many, many years to pay off this debt. But once I'm on track, it's a little less scarier than I thought.
Well, Madoff was still scary, though.
I think we're missing out on a whole horror film genre here.
Indeed.
Beth Koblainer is author of Get a Financial Life, Personal Finance in Your 20s and 30s, and of course, we're a takeaway contributor. And thanks to Stephen Goldbart, psychologist and wealth consultant, co-director of the Money, Meaning, and Choices Institute. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you have trouble talking about finances, we want to know. Actually, my friend Ken posted to my Facebook, I hate the topic more than anything else, and it's a constant stressor in my marriage. Give us your stories at 8778-MY-TAKE. We're actually going to be following
Keep talking, Ken.
A list of tips for people who want to get their financial house in order, like me. You can check it out at our blog at thetakeaway.org. Next week, a list of priorities, setting priorities to get yourself out of debt.
Another bonus while you're there, we're asking you to help create the new Takeaway t-shirts. Here are some examples.
Give the other crooks a chance.
It's still better than John McCain.
The Takeaway almost always gives back.
So, think of a slogan, imagine it on a t-shirt, and give us your details at thetakeaway.org/t-shirt. I'm John Hockenberry.
I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.